الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا The fifth lesson in الحج يقول رحمه الله ويستحب أن يدخل مكة من أعلاها It is preferred to enter Mecca from the northern side. As the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari and Muslim, يقول, كان النبي إذا دخل مكة دخل من الثنية العليا التي بضحاء وإذا خرج خرج من الثنية السفلى. يعني, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Mecca, he enters from the northern, the ثنية, which is العليا. Exits to a place called Al-Hujur. Al-Muhim, and Ibn Umar said when he exited from As-Sufla, Al-Thaniya, As-Sufla, which is the south side of Mecca. In reality, in nowadays, this is one of the most difficult things to do. You don't choose which road to take to Mecca. You just jump in the bus or the taxi and you just tell him, take me to Mecca, and you just go. You have no choice where you enter Mecca from because due to traffic and heavy, it's not like you went on a horse anymore, but you can divert yourself and practice that sunnah. المهم, we continue. He said, وَيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ مِنْ بَابِ بَنِي شَيْبَةَ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَ وَسَلَّمْ دَخَلَ مِنْهُ He said, and enter the masjid from the gate of Bani Shaybah, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered from there. طيب, it is been narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered from there, in hadith, in some of the narrations, all of it, some have some weaknesses. In reality, this door now is removed. It doesn't exist. When they expanded the haram, this is actually does not exist anymore. And some scholars, yani Lara now, the Ahli al-Ilm, they say you enter the doors of al-haram from any door that is easy for you and comfortable for you. Why also? Because it is not really confirmed 100% through authentic narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered from the doors of Bani Shaybah. فَإِذَا رَأَى الْبَيْتَ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَكَبَّرَ وَحَمِدَهُ وَدَعَى He says, once he sees the house, the Kaaba, he raises his hands, says Allahu Akbar, praises Allah, the Almighty, and supplicates. So when you see the Kaaba, what is it? You raise your hand and you say Allahu Akbar praise Allah and you make dua. Of course, raising the hand and make takbir, it is being narrated, but in reality, most of these, they're not really authentic, all these narrations that the Prophet ﷺ did that. Some ulama said that all this, to make takbir and raising your hand and all of these things, it's not preferred to them. When you see the Kaaba, they're not preferred, not mustahab. Remember, mustahab is what? It's hukum shari'i. You require proof to it before you say it's mustahab, it's preferred. He said there is no adilla on this. And it's not narrated that the Prophet ﷺ did any of that. But yani, by the end of the day, when you see a Kaaba, you say, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes you become unintentional and you just say it because it's a great scene. Yeah. If you see your son start to walk, you say, Allahu Akbar, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you want to kill six sheep or something. So, what about seeing the Kaaba? But yani, there's nothing authentically proven when you see the Kaaba, what do you say? ثُمَّ يَبْتَدِئُ بِطَوَافِ الْعُمْرَةِ إِنْ كَانَ مُعْتَمِرًا He said here, then he starts with the tawaf of Umrah if he is performing Umrah. Or tawaf of arrival if he is performing ifrad or qiran. So what he is saying, rahimahullah, he said, of course this is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. But when you first enter the haram, you start what? With the tawaf. If you are with the intention of umrah, you're either going for umrah or tamattu' or qiran or ifrad. If you're going for Umrah or Tamattu', you do the Umrah first. True? Yep. So you enter, do what? Tawaf al-Umrah. Tawaf al-Umrah. You do the tawaf. Now, if you are doing qiran, which is weeks preliminary, amalgamating the umrah with the hajj, or doing ifrad, you don't start with tawaf al-umrah. You start with a tawaf, which is called tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum. يعني the tawaf of arrival. يعني you arrive to Mecca, you make a special tawaf, tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum. نعم. Here he said, نعم. Tawaf al-qudum, أو بتواف القدوم إن كان مفردا أو قارنا. تواف القدوم, majority of the ulama, they say it is what? It is an obligation. So you cannot drop it. So the hajj, the person who's doing only hajj, ifrad, how many tawaf he has to do? تواف القدوم, تواف الإفاضة. Here he said, فيضبع بردائه, بردائه فيجعل وسطه تحت عاتقه الأيمن وطرفيه على عاتقه الأيسر. This is how the rida, the upper garment, is worn in Hajj. You bring the rida halfway under your armpit in the right hand, and you lift it over your left shoulder, exposing the right shoulder. طيب, why? Because the companions رضي الله عنهم, before they entered Mecca, the kuffar spreaded rumor they are sick and ill. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, expose your right shoulder for them to see that you're not sick or you're not ill. And also he told them to do what? Ar-ramal. What is ar-ramal? To walk fast or short fast to show that you are fit and healthy. And that remained as a sunnah. That remained as a sunnah. Normally in Hajj, al-Ramal, we'll talk about it, but normally al-Ramal in Hajj, in the heavy days, you can't do it. If you're going to do it, then you harm people. Then what becomes an obligation? To drop the sunnah for an obligation. What is the obligation? It's not to harm the people. You see some of the African brothers, and everyone is falling from around them, they're pushing everyone out of the way. This is not the sunnah now. The sunnah now is not to harm the people. What is obligatory on you is not to harm the people. You push an old lady, she falls, something happened to her, it's your fault. It's called al-ittiba', because it's been confirmed that the Prophet ﷺ and his companions done so. وَيَبْتَدِئُ بِالْحَجَرِ الْأَسْوَدِ فَيَسْتَلِمَهُ وَيُقَبِّلَهُ. He will start with the black stone, يَسْتَلِمَهُ ash. Now we're talking about the tawaf. يَسْتَلِمَهُ from? The black stone. Naam. فَيَسْتَلِمَهُ, meaning he touch it with his right hand and he kisses it. Of course, because the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touching the black stone and kissing it. Tayyib. So touching it and kissing it is what? Is sunnah, and it's not an obligation, bi ijma'. Sah? Now, if you cannot touch it, which is, it's not likely you're going to touch it. Huh? So you just point to it with your hand and say, the dua he is going to teach you. Hmm? This is how you start. You start by saying, as the Imam said, Bismillah wallahu akbar. What do you say? Bismillah wallahu akbar. It is authentically narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that when he came, when he came to the rukun, yani to the black stone, and he starts his tawaf, he says Bismillahi wallahu akbar. And some scholars have said it is not sunnah to say Bismillah because nothing confirmed from the Prophet. Nothing being confirmed from the Prophet. And Imam Ahmad narrated with isnad sahih that Ibn Umar used to say Bismillah wallahu akbar. Of course, you can say Bismillah. Rebuking the other opinion, you can say Bismillah. Why? Because you're starting your ibadah, and if you're starting your ibadah, you start Bismillah in the beginning. Then after that, every lap, you'd say Allahu Akbar, and as we will explain, inshallah. As you say, when you start, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you start. The Imam here put a long dua. Naam. So, when you do the tawaf, you say what? You start with Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you start going round. He said, because it's also narrated from Bukhari,
يعني he said Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Also narrated from Bukhari from Ibn Abbas that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he's doing the tawaf طاف النبي بالبيت على بعيد كلما أتى الركن أشار إليه بشيء كان عنده وكبر.
So Ibn Abbas narrated in Bukhari that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم every time he does a lap and he reaches the Hajar al-Aswad he points to it and he says Allahu Akbar, not Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. The first time, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Then after that, here then he mentioned the Imam Rahimahullah. He said, Allahumma imanan bika wa tasdiqan bi kitabika wa wafa'an bi ahdika wa attiba'an li sunnati nabiyika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This dua here, which says, O Allah, out of faith in you and show belief in your book, fulfill your covenant and follow the sunnah of your prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here he said this has been narrated from the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is narrated by Ibn Asakir. Ibn Kunana said in Hidayat al-Salik it is not confirmed to the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all these narrations are weak. So you see the brothers who go to Hajj, they buy this little book and they start memorizing all this ad'iyah, and most of it ad'aifa anyway. Most of it ad'aifa, it's just too much burden. And most of them, they forget about it anyway. The one who memorized it. The one who don't memorize it, when they go to the left, they leave the book in the hotel room. And the one, they take it with them, by the time they pick up, they want to read, they lost the group. As some scholars, as you see, weakened these narrations and they said there's nothing narrated except what is being narrated from Ibn Umar to say Bismillah Allahu Akbar when you start. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every time he goes around, he points with whatever he has and says Allahu Akbar. Yani with his stick or with his hand, say Allahu Akbar. Normally, what people do, they stop once, and this it's going to annoy you when you're doing tawaf. Before you get to the Hajar al-Aswad, everyone start to stop and you start the pressure. Everyone push each other. Why? Because people slow down and stop to say Allahu Akbar. You're not meant to stop. The sunnah is not to stop, to keep going and you go Allahu Akbar. Even if you missed it by 5 centimeters, it's not a problem. You see? And there used to be a black line. They removed it because it's causing problem. Black line on the ground on the Hajar al-Aswad. So the people will slow down to look. Have we reached it? Have we reached it? And then bang, the pressure comes and everything. They're slowing down everyone behind them. So they remove that, but people still slow down. Two spots are difficult when you're doing tawaf. When you get close to the Hajar al-Aswad. Secondly, when you get close to Maqam Ibrahim. The pressure becomes, yani you'd feel it. You're actually literally standing and moving like this. Until you get past it, then you start actually walking fast. You're surprised what happened just there. That's how it is. Of course, if you want to go to the second floor and the third floor, and now they built a circle, that's a different story. But you're doubling the distance. I'd rather do downstairs, except the wada' I do upstairs.
يقول رحمه الله ثم يأخذ عن يمينه ويجعل ثم يأخذ عن يمينه ويجعل البيت عن يساره.
He said, then he stand. Then he moves to his right and keeps the house, meaning the Kaaba, on his left. So this is how you are. The Kaaba is on your left, and on your right is the doors. Yani, and you walk around in
anti-clockwise.
He said, of course, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith Jabir, which is the known hadith of the Hajj and the Manasik. لما قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة أتى الحجر فاستلمه ثم مشى على يمينه فرمل ثلاثا ومشى أربعا. He said when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came, when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Mecca, he came to the black stone, he did istilam, and he touched it, and then he walked on his right, and he did three ramal, as we said, power walks or fast walking or pacing, and he walked the rest of the four. فَيَطُوفُ سَبْعًا. He said then he makes سَبْع طَوَافٍ, because we mentioned the hadith of Jabir. يَرْمِلُ
في الثلاثة الأول من الحجر إلى الحجر.
We explained a ramal. So he does ramal in the first three laps. نعم. And it is mustahab with consensus. It is mustahab. Of course, if you can do it, do it. If you can't do it, then don't do it. If you can't do it, don't do it. But if you can, just do it. Now,
ويمشي في الأربعة,
as we mentioned in Hadith Jabir, he walks with the rest of the four.
وكلما حاذ الركن اليماني والحجر استلمهما.
He said, every time, whenever he is in line with the Yemeni corner, why it's called Yemeni? Because it's direction to Yemen. It is direction to Yemen. He said, every time he is in line with the Yemeni corner or the black stone, he places his hand on him. طيب, and he says, Allahu Akbar and La ilaha illallah. يعني, استلامهما وكبر وهلل. Of course, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to touch them with his right hand, and this is with ijma' ahli al-ilm, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to yastalimahuma fi kulli shawtin min tawafihi. He used to, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, touch him in every... Now, touching the rukn al-yamani, istilam rukn al-yamani, the ulama agree it is sunnah to touch it. But only the madhab Abu Hanifa said it is not sunnah. The majority of the ulama said it is sunnah to touch al-rukn al-yamani. He said, when you touch al-rukn al-yamani wal-hajar, meaning the black stone, it is mustahab to say Allahu Akbar, and and it is confirmed authentically from Anas radiyallahu anhu, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is confirmed that Anas radiyallahu anhu, he would every time he would come near the arkan, يعني the pillars of the Kaaba, he would say Allahu Akbar. Another group of ulama said it's not mustahab to say Allahu Akbar except on the Hajar al-Aswad. So what the ulama said? They said what is authentically narrated to say Allahu Akbar is what? On the black stone. But Rukn al-Yamani, you don't say Allahu Akbar, you only touch it if you can. If you cannot touch it, then you don't point to it, you just keep walking. Araft? Again, one more time. So the only thing you say Allahu Akbar is what? The black stone. And it's sunnah to touch the black stone and the Yemeni corner. If you cannot touch the Yemeni corner, you don't point to it, you just keep going. And you don't say Allahu Akbar in the Yemeni corner. He says La ilaha illallah because it has been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Umar about the black stone, if in wajadta fursatan fastalim wa illa fastaqbilhu wa halil wa kabbir. He said, if you are able to touch it, touch it. Otherwise, turn to it and say Allahu Akbar. Say La ilaha illallah and Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. Also, some ulama said this narration, it has some weaknesses in it, and some ulama said it is not يعني sunnah. But and it is from dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ويقول بين الركنين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
When one is in between the two corners, he says, oh our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Between Hajar al-Aswad and the Rukni Yamani, when you get in between them, you say ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار, which is an excellent dua to say. ويدعو في سائره بما أحب, and in the rest he makes dua in whatever he wants. In whatever he wants. Of course, this dhikr, which is ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة, it has been confirmed that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said so, and he said this dhikr between the arkan, and it is sunnah mustahabba. And in the rest of the lap, you make dua whatever you like. And that's why it shows you it's not the sunnah to follow a group of people and all of them make dua at once. Why you can't do that? Because akhi, each one to his own. Maybe enter you want Allah to cure your father from cancer, and the other one want his mother what to get better, and the other one he wants the wife, and the other one he wants to fly somewhere. And so each one has his own dua. So that's why those who follow and they go all in circles of takbir and dua, it's not the sunnah to do that. Subhanallah.
But this dua is in the first lap.
No?
This dua to be done in the first lap.
Every lap. You say you want to do every lap, you want to maximize. Here he said, وَيَدْعُوا فِي سَائِرِهِ بِمَا أَحَبْ And the rest of the time he makes any supplication he pleases. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ خَلْفَ الْمَقَامِ Then he prays two rak'at behind the station of Ibrahim. He stands behind the station of Ibrahim and he prays two rak'at. Here it is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim that عن ابن عمر that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم when he got there he made tawaf seven and he prayed two rak'at behind the maqam. نعم. If you cannot pray two rak'at once you finish the seven laps behind the maqam, pray anyway. Pray anyway. Don't be stubborn and cause harm to the people.
Can the dua be in English?
It can be in any language that you want. It is like a salat, but talking is allowed. You can even talk when you're doing tawaf. There is no issue in that, inshallah. Even you can talk in your tawaf. He said, Rahimahullah, thumma ya'udu ila al-rukni fayastalimahu. He said, after he prays the two rak'at, it is also recommended to read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rak'ah, and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ in the second rak'ah. He said, thumma yusalli rak'atayni khalfa al-maqam. We said that. Thumma ya'udu ila al-rukni fayastalimahu. We said that. And then he returns to the corner of the black stone and he places his hand on it. This is almost impossible in the days of Hajj. Sometimes off season you can do that easily. Tayyib, you can do easily, and this is allowed by consensus of the ulama. Now, he said here, ثُمَّ يَخْرُجُ إِلَى الصَّفَى مِنْ بَابِهِ. He's still explaining to you how to do what? No. He said, now, the Safa and the Marwa. He said, then he departs to Safa from its gate and climbs it. يعني ثم يخرج إلى الصفا من بابه فيرقى عليه ويكبر الله ويهلله ويدعوه. He said, then he departs to the Safa from its gate and climbs it, says Allahu Akbar and La ilaha illallah and supplicates to him. Here, he comes out from the Masjid al-Haram, which is Yirankawa al-Dawai, because now these days, from under, you go to the Safa of Al-Marwa. In the olden days, the Haram was, there was a distance, uncovered, unsheltered distance between the Haram and al-Safa wal-Marwa. Now, none of that. It's all under the shelters and everything. You walk and you enter, you climb the Safa. You see, until now, they have the Safa. It's like a mountain, but they put tiles on it. But you can look, they make like a balcony. You can look and see the Mount of al-Safa. You have to climb on it. It is important to climb even a little bit so you can enter the Safa, which normally you do that. You can't miss it. You enter and then you start with the, you stand on it, you turn to the Kaaba and you make the dua. As he says, you say, Allahu Akbar wa la ilaha illallah. ثم ينزل فيمشي إلى العالم ثم يسعى إلى العالم الآخر. He said, then he walks to the flag and walks briskly to the other flag. What does it mean? Once you descend, you see they have flags today. They have what? Green lights. This is where Hajar, she started to brisk. So, you walk normally. When you get to the green, you start hasting a little bit like Hajar. He said, ثُمَّ يَمْشِي حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ الْمَرْوَةِ فَيَفْعَلَ كَفِعْلِهِ عَلَى الصَّفَى. Then, he walks until he reaches the Marwa and he does what he did in the Safa. And he goes all the way walking. He stands on the Safa and he did exactly what he done in the. He gets to the Marwa and he did exactly the same dhikr that he did in the Safa. ثم ينزل. Then he comes to. يعني ثم ينزل فيمشي في موضعه. ثم ينزل فيمشي في موضع مشيه ويسعى في موضع سعيه حتى يكمل 7 أشواط يحتسب بالذهاب سعيه وبالرجوع سعيه يفتتح بالصفا ويختم بالمروة. He said, and after that he walks at a normal pace in the place for that and walks briskly in the place for walking briskly until he finished the 7 rounds, continuing going as 1 round and coming back as 1 round, starting with the Safa and finishing with the Marwa. So what he is saying, it's not 2 laps 1, no, 1 lap 1, back 2, 3, back 4, 5, back 6, 7, odd number you finish with in the Marwa. That's why you probably have to walk back to get your shoes. If you haven't caught up on that, you probably walk back. So sometimes it's better to get the shoes and then go all the way, do the sa'i and leave it in Marwa. And when you come back, when you finish the 7, you take it from the Marwa and you walk away to shave your hair. You with me? It's a little trick. And I never apply this trick myself. I always keep going back for my shoes.
When you started the 7th one, take your shoes.
You can keep it with you, by the way. You can put it, some of them, yani some groups give little bag, you put the shoes in it and you put it behind your back. And I don't like anything, carry anything. I like to walk with my hands like that. Sah? So that's why I keep forgetting the shoes. Now,
where you put your shoes? Huh? So many people, where you put the shoes?
They are numbered. They are numbered boxes. He said here, يختموا في المروة. All of this that we mentioned, all these matters are mentioned in Hadith Jabir in the description of Hajjah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'll read it for you. وفي صفة حجة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفيه بعد ذكره الطواف وصلاة الركعتين خلف المقام. So he did the tawaf and he made ركعتان خلف المقام. ثم رجع إلى الركن فاستلمه ثم خرج من الباب إلى الصفا. So he went back to the rukun, he touched the rukun, and he after that, يعني after the 2 rakat behind Maqam Ibrahim, ثم خرج من الباب إلى الصفا. He went out of the haram, went straight to the Safa. When he got to the Safa, listen to this, the Sunnah, if you memorize, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله أبدأ مما بدأ به ربي. Says, indeed, the Safa and the Marwa from the rituals of Allah, I start with what Allah has started with, and Allah started with what in the ayah? As-Safa. And then he started for Safa. Here, Jabir continues, he said, فَرَقَى عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى رَأَى الْبَيْتَ فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْبَاءِ الْقِبْلَةِ فَوَحَّدَ اللَّهَ وَكَبَّرَهُ. He said, he ascended the Safa until he is able to see the Kaaba, and he turned his face to the Kaaba. He said, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. وقال, and then he added, and this is the dua he added, وقال, La ilaha illallah, وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد, وهو على كل شيء قدير. La ilaha illallah, أنجز وعده, ونصر عبده, وهزم الأحزاب وحده. You can, in the little dua book, this is authentic dua, you can memorize it. ثم دعا بين ذلك. He makes dua between that. قال مثل هذا 3 مرات. He said it like that 3 times. ثم نزل إلى المروة حتى إذا انصبت قدماه في بطن الوادي سعى, حتى إذا صعدتا مشى, حتى إذا أتى المروة ففعل على المروة كما فعل على الصفا حتى إذا كان آخر طوافه. طيب, I'll explain. Here he said, then he made dua between that. And he said it like he said 3 times. Then he descended to where? To the Marwa. Until when his feet reached the bottom of the valley, he started to brisk. صح? He started to brisk. When he ascended a little bit from the bottom of the valley, he started to walk, as we explained. Until he came to the Marwa, he did exactly what he did on the Safa. He did where? On the Marwa, until he finished the sa'i. Once you finish the sa'i, ثم يقصر شعره إن كان معتمرا وقد حل. If he is doing, he said, then he shortens his hair if he was making umrah and gets out of his state of ihram. So what he does? if he's doing Umrah, then what does he do? He shorten his hair. He didn't say he shave it. He shorten his hair if he is Mu'tamir, and you can also shave your hair, and you now Ihlal. You finished your Umrah. You finished your Umrah, and you wear your clothes, you put your perfume, you have your shower, you take the ihram off, and you finished. Once you shave your hair, the Umrah is done. Now, if you are mutamatti', illa al-mutamatti' in kana ma'ahu hadi. He said, except the mutamatti' if he has with him hadi, which is normally doesn't happen. Let me read it in English first. He said, this is not the case for the one making tamattu' if he has his offering with him. Here he said the mutamatti', he remains in ihram until the day of Eid if he has zasaq al-hadi. Mutamatti', but if he is leading the sheep, he remains in his ihram. But of course, he and none of us now does siyaq al-hadi unless you're Bedouin and doing Hajj. Your hadi is already purchased. You don't need to worry about that. That's why you can come out of your ihram. والقارن والمفرد فإنه لا يحل. طيب, he said, or the one making قران or إفراد, none of them exit from the state of إحرام. They remain in the state of إحرام. And the دليل, what Bukhari and Muslim narrated from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما in the matter of Hajj, and he said, من كان منكم أهدى فإنه لا يحل من شيء حرم منه حتى يقضي حجه وإن لم يكن أهدى فليطف بالبيت وبالصفا والمروة وليقصر وليحلل ثم ليهل بالحج. Here he said, يعني the Prophet ﷺ, he said, anyone who has the hadi, he cannot exit to become in the state of ihlal until he finishes his hajj. And whomsoever he has given the hadi, let him do the Safa and the Marwa and shorten his hair, and then enter the state of Ihlal, and then when Hajj comes, he make intention for Hajj. He said, وَالْمَرْأَةُ كَالْرَجُلْ. وَالْمَرْأَةُ, exactly, she does what the man does with ijma', except because the Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha رضي الله عنها, do what the Hajji does, for the one who performing Hajj does. إِلَّا أَنَّهَا لَا تَرْمِنُ فِي طَوَافِ. He said, وَلَا سَعِي إِلَّا أَنَّهَا لَا تَرْمِلُ فِي طَوَافٍ وَلَا سَعِي. The woman is not like the man in all ruling, except that does not walk briskly in with short steps in tawaf or sa'i. What do you mean in tawaf and sa'i? Meaning in tawaf, she doesn't brisk in the three. And in the sa'i, when between the two, as I explained to you, between the two green lights, she does not brisk. Why? Because the women, basically, the principle is to at-tasattur. To what? To cover themselves, not to unveil themselves and run and look like a man. And he said, also, it could expose their awra, and that is mujma' alay. It is mustah, not mustahaf for them, and this is with ijma'. Now, Babu Sifatil Hajj, chapter description of Hajj. We still have a lot to go, Shabab. So, he said, description of Hajj. He said, وَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ التَّرْوِيَةِ. وَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ التَّرْوِيَةِ, which is here, he said, in the English, 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Tarwiyah, which is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. طيب, he said, فَمَنْ كَانَ حَلَالًا أَحْرَمَ مِنْ مَكَّةِ. يعني, he said, وَخَرَجَ إِلَىٰ عَرَفَةِ. He said, when it is the day of Tarwiyah, everyone who is not already in the state of Ihram, like who? Like the Mutamatti', this is what's going to be our case when we go Hajj normally, should enter into it from Makkah, yani from your hotel, from your place of residence, and then go to Arafat. Go to Arafat. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith Jabir, when we were ordered by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we did Ihlal, remember the Prophet ﷺ remained Buhrim, to do Ihram and to direct ourselves, and we go straight to Mina. Straight to Mina. Now, so Yawm al-Tarwiyah, يوم الترويه, what do you do? You mean to go to Mina. هو he said here to Arafat. He's going يعني 8th and straight away the 9th. But what normally done يوم الترويه is to go where? To Mina. To go to Mina. So, Umrah is done. Hajj starts on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Normally, many of the groups, they go from where? From Azizia. Which is for us, Mina on the day of Tarwiyah, 45 minutes walk to your tent to 1 hour walk. To the tent. The Australian camp is the last camp on the border of Muzdalifah. You'd see there are some camps very, very close. So, you go straight to where? To Mina, and you sleep at Mina that night. You spend the night in Mina. This is Yawm At-Tarbiyah. وَخَرَجَ إِلَى جَبَلِ عَرَفَةِ. Next morning, you take the bus or you go to the Mount of Arafat, which is 9th Dhul Hijjah. You go to Arafat. That is the second amal from أعمال الحج. What is the first amal? At-Tarbiyah. The second amal is what? نعم عرفت. طيب. What does he do in Mina before he goes to عرفت? He prays the ظهر. The sunnah is يوم التروية to pray عليكم السلام. To pray ظهر, عصر, مغرب, عشاء and فجر, and then you move after. Because the day of Arafat starts from Dhuhr and finishes Maghrib. Day of Arafat starts Dhuhr and finishes Maghrib. But you go there and you pray Dhuhr. If you make it Dhuhr, it doesn't matter. It's Sunnah. Yawm al-Tarwiyah, you pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. You half the four. You shorten, but you don't
combine.
You do not combine. You combine in Arafat. But it is to shorten. And then after Arafat, after Mina, next day the 9th, he prays Fajr where? In Mina. And he heads to Arafat. This is the fights where it starts. They start punching each other for the buses, and they start, and this is World War III breaks out there. Punches and people. Now some people, what do they do? Actually, some groups, they actually leave at midnight. They leave at midnight, little bit after midnight. This way they spend the night in, majority of the night in Mina, and they go straight to where? To Arafat, so they can secure, to make sure the tent and everything is there ready, otherwise it's going to be a problem. Here he said, ثُمَّ يَتَّجِهُ مِنْ مِنَا إِلَى عَرَفَاتْ بَعْدَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَاتْ. يعني after the sunrise from Araf. He reaches Arafat. Here he said, فَإِذَا جَالَتْ شَمْسُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ حَتَّى صَلَّى الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِأَذَانٍ وَإِقَامَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ يَرُوحُ إِلَى الْمَوْقِفِ وَكُلُّ عَرَفَةَ إِلَى الْمَوْقِفِ وَعَرَفَاتْ كُلُّهَا مَوْقِفٌ إِلَّا بَطْنُ عُرَنَةَ. He said, when the sun reached its zenith on the day of Arafah, which is the 9th, he prayed, يعني Prophet ﷺ, he prayed ظهر and عصر prayers combined with one adhan and two iqamas. Then he went to the standing place, and all of Arafat is a standing place except the middle of the bottom of valley of Urana. Now, what does the Prophet ﷺ did is, as you heard, he combined Dhuhr and Asr and he went to the Mawqif. Still till now, there is a white stone, a little structure. It's not sunnah for you to go there. A lot of people climb and they kill each other. It's not. Sit in your tent and just engage with dua. Because you're meant to make sure that you are as comfortable as possible. Sit and make dua from the dhuhr all the way till Maghrib time. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he pointed and he said, all of this is Arafah. And all of it is Mawqif. Whatever you stand, it is accepted bi-ithnillah. You don't have to worry about that. Now, إلا بطن عرنة and the إلا بطن عرنة there. Here, of course, the دليل. This is also the reason إجماع that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did that. طيب. Here, it is important that the Imam of the Muslimin
the Imam of that time to do a khutbah, qabla salat. Before the salat, it's important he does the khutbah. The khutbah. And the people, it's important for them to listen to the khutbah. Or the Imam of the Muslimin, he appoints someone who does the khutbah on that great day. In it, the khutbah, basically to explain to the people what they need to do the day of Hajj. And the Muslims, it's important for them to listen to the khutbah. Now, yani in our group, because it is televised, we take a television and you watch it, and it is subtitled and translated to English, so you don't have to worry about that. We used to translate it for the people. Normally, the khutbah can go up to 1 hour and 1 hour and a half. It's a very, very long khutbah. And sometimes, last year was, I think, about 45 minutes to 50 minutes. It depends on the khatib here. طيب. And to listen to it in the mukabbirat, يعني to listen to it in the amplifiers and the speakers. ثم يروح, meaning here, he said he walks and he goes to the mawqif and arafat, all of it mawqif, as the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith Jabir narrated by Muslim, وقفتها هنا وعرف كلها موقف. He said, I stood here, but all of Arafah are place of standing, إلا بطن عرنا, except the valley of عرنا, which is western, west of Arafat, and you're not allowed to stand there at all. Now, which is عرنا, over there is Masjid Namira. Masjid Namira, the western side of Masjid Namira is actually inside Urana, which is outside the Haram. That's why the Hajj cannot be in Urana. He needs to be in that side of the Masjid, and the Hajj should not stand there. ويستحب أن يقف في موقف النبي أو قريبا منه عند الجبل قريبا من الصخرة ويجعل حبل المشاة بين يديه. He said, it is preferable to stand at the site where the Prophet ﷺ stood or close to the rocks, having the pedestrians in front of him and facing the Qibla while riding. Now, طيب. So here, of course, we don't have ridings and all of that we don't have. And as because Hadith Jabir, يعني the Prophet ﷺ stood there, but of course the Prophet ﷺ stood there and he said all of it is mawqif. So it's not sunnah to push and jaff to stand there and tire yourself out, and you still have a lot of work ahead of you, then it becomes a burden on you. You see? Here he said, وَيَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ فِي حَالِ وُقُوفِهِ وَدُعَاءِ اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ. And he turns towards the qibla when he makes the dua. So what I recommend for the brothers when they go Hajj is to leave the tent, especially in the hours leading to Maghrib, which is after Asr. Rest in the tent, because you can't, a lot of people cannot keep standing from all the way from Asr or Dhuhr all the way يعني, till Maghrib. So leave the last few hours when the sun sets down a little bit, go out to a corner, leave the people, and engage yourself in a dua until the Maghrib, and concentrate on your dua. Turn your face to the Qibla, raise your head, and make dua. وَيَكُونُ رَاكِبًا. He said it is preferred also to be riding, because the Prophet ﷺ was riding. Now, many scholars, they said the best is according to the people. Yani some people, if they are in a car or they are in a bus or riding or sitting on the floor or standing or sitting on a chair, whatever he can get and attain khushu' is acceptable. The Prophet ﷺ was riding, maybe so the people can see him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويكثر من قول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. As the يعني this is to say this dua a lot, which is I mentioned, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, and يعني it has some support to raise it to acceptable hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said the best of dua on the day of Arafah, and the best of what I said and the prophets before me, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. واجتهد في الدعاء والرغبة إلى الله عز وجل إلى غروب الشمس. And here he said, the pilgrim should excel in making supplication and seeking Almighty
Allah until sunset. So to make the dua, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to made a lot of dua on that day. So make ijtihad in the dua to push yourself a little bit, not to get tired, to make ijtihad. And that's why we say to the brothers, always save your energy, because you need a lot of energy in Arafat, in Muzdalifa, in Tawaf al-Ifada. Some brothers, they what? Exhort their energy in Mecca. You have to be careful not to push yourself. Sometimes some brothers, they want to do Tawaf 3 times and twice a day. Look, it's all fine, but what is coming up is hard. So you need to preserve, you know your own energy. Some brothers, mashallah, lions. And some brothers, no. So each according to his pace. Here he said, ثُمَّ يَدْفَعُ إِلَى مُزْدَلِفَةً. Then, he should then move with the imam to Muzdalifa. ثُمَّ يَدْفَعُ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ إِلَى مُزْدَلِفَةً. So he waits for the imam. When he moves down to Muzdalifa, he goes, he follows the imam to Muzdalifa. Used to be at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa will appoint Amir for Hajj. He is Amir al-Hajj. So you wait for his orders, what he does. You see, now each group, now there is the Wazara. So it leaves each group, it appoints the groups, what time you have to wait for the bus. And this is another crazy day, trying to move from Arafat all the way to Muzdalifa. All the way to Muzdalifa. You get to Muzdalifa, some people don't get to Muzdalifa. They don't get the chance to get to Muzdalifa, by the way. That's how bad it can get. And some people get there after midnight and some before midnight. Alhamdulillah, in our group, we always manage to get there by 10 o'clock at night maximum. So you're there, we're always there, alhamdulillah. And when you sleep in Muzdalifa, you wake up, you say, actually, there is no more place for you to stand. It's a sea of people. Totally. People fighting for a spot to sleep. That's how it becomes. He said, على طريق المأزمين وعليه السكينة والوقار ويكون ملبيا ذاكرا لله عز وجل. He said, taking the route of المأزمين, he should proceed with sincerity and dignity while making talbiyah and mentioning Almighty Allah. Normally, you'll be standing in the bus like that. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك. Move a little bit. Seriously, that's how bad it gets. All groups, they start stuffing the people inside the bus. You just want to move your group. Some will climb on top, some will... This is when you see all the people riding on top and everything. And normally, the bus that fits 30 sitting and 20 standing takes 100. They just keep pushing people. There's a little corner there. Just go like that. Stand like that. Honestly, that's how bad it gets. So everyone wants to get his people. He said... Of course, to take that route, if it is easy. If you're not, today you don't have an option to which route you take. You just jump on the bus and he'll take you. Of course, you have to be with peace and tranquility, because now, your sins just been forgiven, in Arafat. As you watch, as soon as they get to Muzdalifa, they leave, they start accumulating sin again. Yeah. See, your sins is just now being forgiven. Khalas. As-sakina waqar is still in ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Muslim, يقول بيده اليمنى أيها الناس السكينة السكينة. He will point to the people with his right hand. He says, oh people, calm down slowly and tranquilly. فإذا وصل مزدلفة صلى بها المغرب والعشاء قبل حط الرحال يجمع بينهما. He said, Astaghfirullah, I missed that also he made talbiya, لبيك اللهم لبيك, and he be mentioning Allah in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, when he mentioned the Hajj of the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith here, he said, I went with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He never left the talbiya until he stoned the big jamrah, until he stoned jamrat al-aqabah. طيب, sometimes he will mix the talbiya with Allahu Akbar wa la ilaha illallah. Jazakallah.
فإذا وصل مزدلفة صلى بها المغرب والعشاء قبل حط الرحال يجمع بينهما. Once he reaches Muzdalifa, he joined Maghrib and Isha before he empty his bags and he combined between them. He said he should, once he reached Muzdalifa, he should pray Maghrib and Isha before he unloads his belongings. He should combine the prayers and then sleep over that place. To sleep over that place. Now, he said here the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Usama ibn Zayd, دفع رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من عرفة فنزل الشعب فبال ثم توضأ ولم يسبغ الوضوء فقلت له الصلاة والصلاة فقال الصلاة أمامك فجاء المزدلفة فتوضأ فأسبغ ثم أقيمت الصلاة فصلى المغرب ثم أناخ كل إنسان بعيره في منزله ثم أقيمت الصلاة فصلى ولم يصلي بينهما. طيب, and this is with all the إجماع. He said the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he descended from Arafat, he went to a valley, Ash-Sha'b, then he urinated and he made wudu hastily. He didn't do like isbagh. Then I said to him, which is Usama ibn Zayd, Salat, Salat. He said, Salat in front of you. And we're not going to pray here. We're going to pray in front of you. Faja'a Muzdalifa, he came Muzdalifa, then he repeated his wudu with isbagh. He did all the extras. And then he made the iqama, he prayed Maghrib. And then everyone, he put down his camel. Then he made the second iqama and he prayed the Isha, and he never prayed anything in between. Yani he combined Maghrib and Isha, and this is with ijma. Now,
did he shorten the Isha?
Yes. Of course, shorting the Isha. ثم يبيت فيها. Then he sleeps over in that place. Now, 10th Dhul Hijjah. Comes 10th Dhul Hijjah. You want me to stop? He said, now the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. What are the a'mal of the 8th? Is to go to do the ihram. To do the ihram in Mecca, wherever you are, and go and sleep over in Mina. The next day, you pray Fajr, and when the sun rises, you start going to Arafat. And then you stay from Arafat, from you pray Dhuhr and Asr, and you go for the dua. Maghrib starts. When Maghrib, you can't leave Arafat until Maghrib Adhan. You don't pray, you move. You move all the way until you reach Muzdalifa. Before you unload your bags, you pray Maghrib and Isha. And then you unload your bags and you sleep till Fajr. Now, some people leave at midnight. Let's read what he said. He said, ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ الْفَجْرَ بِغَلَسٍ وَيَأْتِي الْمَشْعَرَ الْحَرَامِ فَيَقِفَ عِنْدَهُ وَيَدْعُوا. After that, he should pray Fajr while it is still dark and go to Mash'ar al-Haram, which is a place there, and stand there and supplicate. Now, and supplicate. Of course, here, because Muslim narrated from Jabir the long hadith, he said, حَتَّى أَتَى الْمُزْدَلِفَ فَصَلَّى بِهَا الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْعِشَاءِ بِأَذَانٍ وَاحِدٍ وَإِقَامَتَيْنِ وَلَمْ يُسَبِّحْ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْئًا. He said, until he came, wa alaykum salam, Muzdalifa, he prayed Maghrib and Isha with one adhan and two iqama, and he didn't do anything in between them from salat or any dua or anything. ثم اضطجع حتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى طلع الفجر. Then he slept until the Fajr, يعني time. وصلى الفجر حين تبين له الصبح بأذان وإقامة. When he, يعني صلى الفجر, when يعني it appeared to him the صبح with one أذان and إقامة. وركب القصواء حتى أتى المشعر الحرام. He rode on his القصواء, on his camel, until he reached what? المشعر الحرام, a place there. You'd see it, there is a masjid there now. There's a masjid there, المشعر الحرام. فاستقبل القبلة فدعاه وكبره وهلله وحده. He turned to the قبلة, he made dua and made takbir and said لا إله إلا الله ووحده, يعني وحده لا شريك له. And so you have to understand, hardly anyone does this. You only can do this if you are separate from a group by yourself. It's very hard, very difficult.
because you need to walk with the group to Mina. Unless you say to the group, leave me alone, I'll do whatever I want. That if you know what you're doing, 100%, and you know your way around, go for it. If you don't, or you think you do, don't. Because these are sunan. Staying with the group and not getting lost is also an important sunnah. He said, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ وَاقِفًا حَتَّى أَسْفَرَ جِدًّا. He kept on standing until the sun rised properly. فَدَفَعَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. He moved after the sunrise. يعني, the sun really rised, but it, يعني the sun was up, but it wasn't full sunrise. He moved. Now, وَيَأْتِي الْمَشْعَرَ الْحَرَامِ فَيَقِفَ عِنْدَهُ وَيَدْعُ. He mentioned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يعني, here he said, he goes to the Mash'ar al-Haram. After Salat al-Fajr, he stands there and he makes dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَّفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَاذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. He said, when you do ifada min arafat, remember Allah at the Masjid al-Haram and remember Him as He guided you. And it's tall, it's a small mountain in the middle of Muzdalifah, and now there is a big masjid there. Normally, some groups, they take you for a tour in Mecca, Arafat, and they show you Arafat and Muzdalifah and everything, and you'd see Mash'ar al-Haram. Outside, yani when it's packed with people, you can't see anything properly, dark, everything, it's very hard. And he says in that place, Allahumma kama waffaqtana wa araytana iyyah, fawaffiqna li dhikrika kama hadaytana waghfir lana warhamna kama wa'adtana biqawlika. وقولك الحق فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام. And this dua is accepted, and it is not narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to believe it's a sunnah specifically to say that, it hasn't been authentically narrated. You can read the translation of this dua there. I don't need to go through it. He said, إلى أن يسفر, يعني as mentioned the hadith, until the isfar, which is, yeah, he said he should stand until it is well lit, ثم يدفع قبل طلوع الشمس, and then he moves before sunrise, as it is mentioned in the hadith. فإذا بلغ محسرا, listen, now we move to another action the Prophet ﷺ did. He finished what, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muzdalifah. He finished Muzdalifah. And he went Mash'ar al-Haram. He prayed Fajr. Before he went to Mash'ar al-Haram, he prayed Fajr. Jumped on his camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he moved. He stood there for a little while, making dua until it is well lit. And he moved to Wadi Mahsir, which is what? It is on the way from Muzdalifah to Mina, over there. فَإِذَا بَلَغَ مُحْسِرًا أسرع قدر رميه بحجر حتى يأتي منها فيبتدئ بجمرة العقبة فيرميها بسبع حصيات كحصى الخذف. He said once he reaches محسر, طيب, he should hasten until he arrives at Mina about the distance of a stone throw, then he should start with the جمرة العقبة, the larger جمرة, because there are three, this is the largest one, throwing seven pebbles at it that are like pebbles for throwing. يعني small one as big as chickpeas. يكبر مع كل حصات ويرفع يده في الرمي ويقطع التلبية بابتداء الرمي ويستبطن الوادي ويستقبل القبلة ولا يقف عندها. He said, he should say Allahu Akbar with every pebble and raise his hand while throwing. So what he does, he stands there and he raises his hand and he stirs the first one, Allahu Akbar. Here the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, stops. Starts where? When you start niyyat al-hajj, al-talbiyah. Once you stone the aqaba, finished. Sah? Finished. But he should also interrupt the talbiyah once he start throwing. He should stand in the middle of the bottom of the valley and face the qibla, and he should not stand by it. Now, I'll explain this to you. So, we understand what he did. So, it is mustahab to haste to get to the al-aqaba until between you and it a stone thrown. And then you walk to Mina and you start with the throwing. You throw the seven. Of course, also in Hadith Jabir, I will translate very quickly, that the Prophet ﷺ pushed, yani moved until he reached the bottom of the valley of Muhsir. Then he moved a little bit, and then he came to the middle that takes you out to the greater Jamrah, until he came to the Jamrah which is next to the tree, which is the big Jamrah. And he threw seven hasayat. Every time he would say takbir for every hasad, each one as big as al-khadaf, yani as we said, chickpea. And he threw from the bottom of the valley, and then he went to the manhar, to the place of slaughter. فَنَحَرَ ثَلَاثًا وَسِتِّينَ بِيَدِهِ. He slaughtered 63, and he gave Ali radiallahu anhu to slaughter the rest. 63 sheep with his hand. You can imagine the Prophet sallallahu, yeah, the Prophet sallallahu was 60, doing all this. Imagine slaughtering 63 sheep with his hand. Allah, Allah. And he after he done all this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Strong power, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did, and then he went to slaughter. It's not a condition to pick up the stones from Muzdalifah. Everyone goes, spends the night picking up the stones, digging for stones. Don't worry about it. Normally, before I get there, I find seven stones and I stone them. Or people are, some of them collect for the whole trip, like seven times three. Why? Day by day, you pick up a little bit of Aziziyah, there, yeah, you scab off people. Don't worry about it. Put them in my zamzam and they shake them and they read on them stuff. And it's not, you know, Allahu musta'an, this is not part of it. We said, naam. Of course, as for the carrying off the talbiyah, Usama ibn Zayd narrated, Bukhari and Muslim narrated that Ibn Abbas, that Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Arafah to Muzdalifah. Then he put al-Fadl from Muzdalifah to Mina. Every time they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both of them, he was continuously making talbiyah until he reached Jamrat al-Aqaba. طيب, and he stand in the wadi. Today, you can't stand in the wadi. طيب, you can't stand in the wadi, you just go and stone. Now the Prophet ﷺ, when he was stoning, he directed his face towards the Qibla. It is a bit difficult today. When you're studying, even after this new structure, still there is, alhamdulillah, no push and shove. Very easy. Even if you are with a baby, you can do it easily. Now there is no injuries in stoning the Jamrah. But yani, you can go on the other side and turn your chest to the Qibla and do it. There is no harm. Or you can do it there, but you don't stand and make dua. You just do it and walk away straight away. You do not do waqf there. فَيَنْحَرُ هَدْيَهُ. He would slaughter his sheep. ثُمَّ يَحْلِقُ رَأْسَهُ أَوْ يُقَصِّرَهُ. He said, then he should slaughter his sacrificial animal and shave his head or shorten his hair. And then everything is permissible for him except contact with women. This is called at-tahallul al-awwal. ثم يحلق رأسه أو يقصر. يحلق رأسه يقصر. The sunnah is what? Is al-shayf. Yeah, al-halq. To halq, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for the muhalliqeen three times and to muqassirin once. And this hadith is agreed upon, and everything is halal for him. He goes home, he takes off the ihram, has a shower, put his clothes on, put perfume. Everything is halal except an-nisa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, "إذا رميتم وحلقتم فقد حل لكم الطيب والثياب وكل شيء إلا النساء." He said, "If you have stoned and shaved your hair, everything is halal except women." So you did these two out of the three. And some group of the scholars, they said at-tahallul by stoning the aqaba, and then you can become in a state of tahallul. Now he said, ثم يفيض إلى مكة فيطوف للزيارة. Then he goes to Mecca, he does the Ifada should proceed to Mecca to perform Tawaf Al-Ifada. Al-Ifada. He said here, فَيَطُوفُ لِلزِّيَارَ. Then he should proceed to Mecca and perform Tawaf Al-Ziyara. Al-Ziyara. This is also called what? Tawaf Al-Ifada, because the Prophet ﷺ did the Tawaf on that day. Which day? The 10th. Now, can you delay it? It's no issue if you delay it. You have, the ulama said, your lifetime. But you stay in the state of Ihram. You still can't sleep with the woman until you do the Tawaf Al-Ifada or Tawaf Al-Ziyari. You understanding me here? So if you delay it to the second day until the pressure, you're not following 100% the Sunnah, but you're saving yourself the hardship of that. Now, Muhammad ibn al-Munzir لم يكن يفيض من أصحاب رسول الله إلا من كان منهم يكون معه امرأة. Meaning, the Ifada, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never used to do Ifada except the one who has a woman. So anyone, his wife is with him in Hajj, they used to straight away go do the Ifada. Why? So that and fall into intercourse with the wife. But if you don't have your wife with you, then to delay a little bit to the late in the evening, there is no issue, because it's actually easier, less pressure for Tawaf Al-Ziyara. طيب. وهو الطواف الذي به تمام الحج. And this is the tawaf that to complete the Hajj with it. ثم يسعى. Of course, we're going to talk about that more in the pillars of Hajj. ثم يسعى بين الصفا والمروة إن كان متمتعا أو ممن لم يسعى مع طواف القدوم. Here he said, if he is performing tabattu or he did not perform sa'i with tawaf Al-Qudum, then he should perform Sa'i. So, he does Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, whomever is mutamattir. But if he was Mufrid or Muqrin and he did only Tawaf Al-Qudum, but he didn't do the Sa'i for it, he does it now. He does it now. ثم قد حل من كل شيء. Then he becomes permissive. After that, he become in a total state of ihlal. After that, everything is permissible for him. It's permissible for him. Here he said in the hadith, in Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, in hadith of description of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ثم لم يحلل من شيء حرم منه حتى قضى حجه ونحره وهديه وأفاض. فطاف بالبيت ثم حل من كل شيء حرم منه. He said, then he does not go into state of ihlal from something. He went into the state of ihram until he finishes his hajj and his slaughter and his hadi, and he does the ifada, and then he tawaf, and then everything becomes halal for him. You see, he said, ويستحب أن يشرب من ماء زمزم لما أحب ويتضلع منه ثم يقول اللهم اجعله لنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وريا وشبعا وشفاء من كل داء واغسل به قلبي واملأه من خشيتك وحكمتك. It is recommended that he drinks from Zamzam with an intention that he wishes drink his fill, to drink until you fill your stomach. He said, then say, O Allah, grant us with the knowledge that is beneficial, provision, and that is plentiful, quenching of thirst and satisfaction of hunger and cure for all ailments. Wash with it my heart, fill it with all of you, and fill it with your wisdom. So you do all this dua. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ said the water of Zamzam is whatever you drink it for. So you drink it with any intention that we want, and you fill your belly with it. And this is narrated from in Sahih Muslim an Abi Dharr. The Prophet ﷺ said about Zamzam, it's water that is blessed. Innaha mubaraka. It is food for the one who wants to eat. Now, here also, it is also been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, some ahadith that are acceptable, that he said, if you want to drink the water of Zamzam, take a bucket from it, then turn to the Qibla and say Bismillah, take 3 breaths and drink until you feel your belly tayyib, and say Allahumma, I ask you a beneficial knowledge and rizq that is abundant and cure from every ailment. Here, this, as we read it, يعني, a lot of this hadith is being narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, some of the things which is weak in this narration of the hadith. What to do after removing ihram? He said,
ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى مِنَى وَلَا يَبِيتُ لَيَالِيهَا إِلَّا بِهَا. Then he should go to Mina and should not stay anywhere but there during the night of Mina. So it is now the 10th, which is the 10th of the Eid. There is no Salat Eid for you, no Khutbat Eid. You don't stop for Salat Eid or Khutbat Eid, you keep going with the Tawaf. There is no Eid for the Hajj. He said, he goes back to Mina and he does not sleep except in Mina. Here he said, which is Ayyamu Tashriq. Tayyib, Ayyamu Tashriq, which is the night of the 11th, the 12th, Tayyib, and the 13th if he intends to ta'akhar. Because you can, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because a lot of people are travelers, he said, there is no burden on, yani if you want to stay to the 12th and then leave, if you're leaving for taqwa, not for ill intent, and you can stay the 13th. Normally, majority of they leave after the 12th. Yani you find a few who stay to the 13th, and majority of the excited brothers who say we want to do the 13th, they can't wait until they get back and go back, and they don't want to stay by themselves. Of course, Azizia is not part of Mina. The ones who say Azizia is part of Mina, it is wrong. Azizia is not part of Mina. You see it clearly. It is not part of Mina. Anyone who gives you this fatwa, he is misguiding you. You have to go and sleep in Mina. If you missed and you slept in Azizia two nights, the 11 and the 12, then you have to slaughter one sheep to compensate. Now, he said, فَيَرْمِي بِهَا الْجَمْرَةَ بَعْدَ الزَّوَالِ مِنْ أَيَّامِهَا. The zawal after the zenith, you go to stone the jamarat each day after the sun reaches the meridian. He said, يَبْتَدِئُ بِالْجَمْرَةِ الْأُولَى فَيَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ وَيَرْمِيهَا بِسَبْعِ حَصَيَاتِ كَمَا رَمَى جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ ثُمَّ يَتَقَدَّمْ فَيَقِفُ عِدْعُ اللَّهَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي الْوُسْطَى فَيَرْمِيهَا كَذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَرْمِي جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةَ وَلَا يَقِفُ عِنْدَهَا. He said, he starts with the first jamra, he faces the qibla and stones it with seven pebbles, as he did with the jamra al-aqaba. Then he proceeds and stands to invoke Allah Almighty, and then goes to the middle jamra and stones it as well, and then he stones jamratul aqaba, but he does not stand by it. So what he does, he goes after the zenith. Now the government pushes you to go early from 9 o'clock in the morning. And why? To reduce the pressure. But he stoned the first one like he did. We explained to the Aqaba, seven stones. He moved a little bit. He turned to the Qibla and he makes dua after the first one. Then he goes to the second one. Stone seven, move a little bit, stand, turn to the Qibla, make dua. Then stone the third one and then leave. Starting with the big one. Starting with the Aqaba, then with the middle one, then with the small one, and you leave. صح؟ ولا يقف عندها. And the أدلة here, I'm not going to go through the دليل, يعني the أدلة, but it is confirmed from Aisha رضي الله عنها in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad. Of course, and the Ifada on the day of Nahar, also in hadith Jabir and hadith Ibn Umar, the dalil for these matters, and the ulama يعني all agree about it. Now, you start with the small one, and then the middle one, and then the big one, the aqaba, and you move. Huh? You start so with the small one, you throw seven, you turn your face to the qibla, and you make the dua. Then you move to the wusta, you throw the seven, you turn your face to the qibla, you make dua, and then you go to the big one, the aqaba, you stone seven, and you just move away, and you do not stand and make dua. And you do that on the day 11th and on the 12th. And if you decide to stay another night, the 13th, you have to stand for the 13th. You have to stay the 13th. Here he said,
فإن, of course, all of this with إجماع amongst the scholars and حديث عائشة and all this with إجماع. فإن أحب أن يتعجل في يومين, if he desire to leave early after 2 days, he should leave before sunset. خرج قبل الغروب. قبل الغروب. Why? Because after Maghrib you entered the 13th day, so you can't leave. You have to stay until you stone. فإن غربت الشمس وهو بمنى لزمه المبيت بمنى والرمي عن غد. هذا with إجماع. If the sunset while he is still in Mina, he must stay overnight and stone the Jamarat on the following day. So you need to leave before Maghrib, otherwise you have to stay the day. Now, what happens a lot of the time, this is the worst. On the 12th day, normally walking is the best. But what happened? Many who cannot walk, they jump on the bus, finished. We get there and we do the tawaf and we sleep and they still haven't arrived. This is how bad. So these people can get stuck inside Mina till after Maghrib, till probably the next day. Right? If you haven't, the buses hasn't moved. These people take the same ruling because they intended to leave and khalas, they're going to leave. Otherwise it's gonna become even more a burden on them. I said if you walk from Mina until you get to Azizia, normally 2 hours walk, or 3 hours including the stoning at the worst case scenario, on the 12th day. If they want to take a bus, because some of the old people, they cannot go stone, they are in Mina, they give you the stones and they go on the bus, they can't walk.
They want to go quickly.
They take the bus to drive to Azizia,
because
the traffic.
Oh.
Stuck in the traffic now.
هي
هي said فإن كان متمتعا أو قارنا فقد انقضى حجه وعمرته He said if he is making تمتع or قران, his حج and عمره are completed. He completed everything. وإن كان مفردا خرج إلى التنعيم فأحرم بالعمرة منه ثم يأتي مكة فيطوف ويسعى ويحلق ويقصر. If he is making ifrad, he goes out to Tan'im, he enters into ihram for umrah from there, and that after that he goes to Mecca and performs tawaf and sa'i and shaves or shortens his hair. You understand? Here now he gives you something. Here, because the dalil for that is Aisha did radiyallahu anha, and she was qarinah. When she finished Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ ordered her brother Abdul Rahman to take her to the Tan'im so she can do that. Here he mentioned some matters. He said, فَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَعْرٍ اسْتَحَبَّ أَن يُمِرَّ الْمُوسَى عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. If he has no hair, it is recommended that he passes a razor over his head and his Hajj and Umrah then completed. وقد تم حجه وعمرته. وليس في عمل القارن زيادة على عمل المفرد ولكن عليه وعلى المتمتع دم لقوله تعالى فمن تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الهدي فمن لم يجد فصيام 3 أيام في الحج و7 إذا رجعتم. He said the one making Qiran does not do more than the one making Ifrad. However, he and the one making Tamattu' must sacrifice an animal based on Allah Almighty's words. Whoever performs Umrah during the Hajj month, followed by Hajj, offers what can he obtain with ease of sacrificial animals. And whoever cannot find or offered such an animal, then a fast of 3 days during Hajj and 7 days when he returned home. What he is saying here, he's saying that the one who is doing Qiran, he does not do anything extra from the Mufrid. You remember the Mufrid? The Mufrid is doing just Hajj. Sah? The one who is doing, what? Hajj, he does the Umrah after. He said the qarin, he doesn't do anything extra from al-mufrid. صح? He doesn't do anything extra from the mufrid. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha when she did qiran between Hajj and Umrah, he said, يَسَعُكِ طَوَافُكِ لِحَجِّكِ وَعُمْرَتِكِ. He said, your tawaf that you did is enough for Hajj and Umrah. You see, the both tawaf are amalgamated into one. ولكن, but on the qarin and on the mutamatti' dam, which is to slaughter the hadi. But the mufrid, there is no hadi on him. The mufrid is no hadi on him. وَإِذْ أَرَادَ الْقُفُولِ, when he wants to leave now from Mecca, لَمْ يَخْرُجْ حَتَّى يُوَدِّعَ الْبَيْتَ بِطَوَافِ عِنْدَ فَرَاغِهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِ حَتَّى يَكُونَ آخِرَ عَهْدِهِ بِالْبَيْتِ. He said, when he wants to return to his homeland, he should not leave until he bids farewell to the house by making tawaf. This should be done after he has completed all his affairs, so that the last place he departs Mecca is from the house. Huh? From is the house. So what does he do? The last thing you do in Mecca is you do tawaf and leave. You're not allowed to buy and sell and do anything. You do everything you want to do, your business and everything. You tie your camel and you go and do the tawaf and leave. Normally what happened in the groups, the group, you pack your bags, everything. Or before you pack your bags, last night, you jump on the bus, you go to Mecca, you do the tawaf, or if you are in Mecca, you do tawaf. Then, in the next day, or in the same night, the bus comes and takes you to the airport. You see, you don't do anything extra, that's it. This is where, you're not allowed to do anything other than that. Here, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه قال كان الناس ينصرفون في كل وجه. The people used to go from every direction. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينفرن أحد حتى يكون آخر عهده بالبيت. He said, one of you should not leave Mecca until the last thing he does is tawaf in the bayt. And this is specifically for the Hajji. The one who's doing Umrah, he does not do it. طيب, and this is with the agreement with the ulama. If you're just traveling there for Umrah, like a lot of people go holiday, they go just Umrah. فَإِذْنِ اشْتَغَلَ بَعْدَهُ بِتِجَارَةٍ عَادَ. He said, if you buy and sell and do tijara, you have to repeat it. You have to repeat it. Now, except if you are waiting for your friends, or your car broke down, or for the group, or for something like that. Some said, for extreme, you can. You got sick, you need to buy medicine, you're hungry, you need to eat, you're out of food, you can. They gave you this leeway for necessity. But the basic principle, the last thing you do is the tawaf al-wada. If you do business, buying and selling, unnecessarily, then khalas, you have to redo it. وَيَسْتَحِبُّ لَهُ إِذَا طَافَ أَن يَقِفَ فِي الْمُلْتَزَمِ بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْبَابِ فَيَلْتَزِمَ الْبَيْتِ. He said it is mustahab when he does the tawaf, it is recommended for him if he makes tawaf to stand in multazam, the place to be embraced, which is under the door, which is between the pillar of the black stone and the door. That, if you can get to it, to do the multazam and fayaltazim al-bayt. You come and you put your chest and your arms on the house. And you put your cheek and your chest on the wall of the Kaaba between Hajar al-Aswad and the door, if you can. He said, it is being confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. Here he mentioned the dua, Allahumma hada baytuk wa ana abduk wa ibn amatik. Hada dua, all of it, it is not being confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if you want to read it, there is no issue. But as long as you don't believe that this is the dua that is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa yad'u bima ahab, to supplicate with whatever you love, and then you make the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because you ended, when you end something, you end it with the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَمَنْ خَرَجَ قَبْلَ الْوَدَاعِ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ قَرِيبًا وَإِنْ بَعُدْ بَعَثَ بِدَمْ. He said, if one leaves before the farewell tawaf, he returns to do it if he is close. If he is far, he sends a sacrifice of a sheep or a goat. According to our madhab, you do that. Meaning tawaf al-wada' becomes wajib. You can't drop it. You can't drop it. You see, you can't drop it. So because of the dua of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Imam Malik, من نسي نسكه من نسكه شيئا أو تركه فليهرق دما. Whoever forgets anything from, whoever forgets one of the rites of, or leaves it out, must slaughter an animal. It is narrated by Imam Malik. Here he said, إِلَّا الْحَائِضُ وَالنُّفَسَاءُ فَلَا وَدَاعَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Except the menstruating woman and the postnatal, or postpartum. Except the menstruating woman or the woman with postpartum, yani bleeding, which is postnatal bleeding, these women, they have no wada' upon them. Why? Because we said the ha'id and the nufasa does not do tawaf. Ibn Taymiyyah allowed it in case the group going to leave. He allowed it. He said, if the group going to leave, inshallah, we'll speak about it next week. If you note it, the Prophet ﷺ said, in the hadith in Sahih Muslim and in Bukhari, Ibn Abbas narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, أمر الناس أن يكون آخر عهدهم بالبيت إلا أنه خفف عن المرأة الحائض. He said, the Prophet ﷺ ordered the people, last thing they do is tawaf in the sacred house, except it's been made easy for the woman. A concession was made for menstruating women. ويستحب لهما الوقوف عند باب المسجد والدعاء. He said it is preferred for them to stand on the door of the masjid and make dua. Here, some scholars said it is not mustahab because it is not narrated. Actually, what is narrated and it's agreed upon, the Prophet ﷺ ordered his wife Safiya, when she has the hype, to leave. Khalas. And she did do tawaf al-wada'. Of course, this is sort of the description of doing Hajj. We're going next week to divide the Hajj to pillars and obligations and sunan. And with that, inshallah, we finish the chapter of Hajj, inshallah. I don't think it's going to be a lesson as long as this one, because it's only, inshallah, going to be chapter 8 and chapter 9, two chapters, which is, inshallah, we should go through them very, very quickly. We will talk about the issue of the tawaf or the ha'id. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.